produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Activism Day here on the Audio Stash. Be a true patriot this holiday week and do something to change marijuana prohibition in the USA. Today, after the news, we'll hear a special report from Normal's executive director. Ellen St. Pierre lets us know why many of the world's leading economists are seeing green in these lean times. We'll hear our report with John Pilko about the 4th of July hemp rally taking place tomorrow in Washington, D.C. Also today, we've got some stash music from the Hempilation albums, and Karen Molliver will help us work for marijuana law reform without breaking our bank. And we'll get into our holiday with some comedy from podshow.com. All here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today from Santa Cruz, California. Federal court could allow city-run medical marijuana facility. A federal judge will decide if medical marijuana patients and a proposed city-owned dispensary should be protected from federal prosecution. American Civil Liberties Union attorneys and other lawyers presented arguments to a San Jose federal court Friday in a case aimed at forcing the U.S. government to recognize California's 10-year-old medical marijuana law, Proposition 215, and allow Santa Cruz to establish an Office of Compassionate Use, the nation's first government-owned medical marijuana facility. The lawsuit against U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and the Drug Enforcement Administration began after a federal raid of the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in 2002. The case has since grown to include the city and county of Santa Cruz. Justice Department Attorney Mark Quinlevin asked the court to dismiss the case, which would leave the state's medical marijuana law intact, but leave users and providers vulnerable to arrest by federal agents. No decision was made Friday by federal judge Jeremy Fogel. His verdict could come in several months to a year. City leaders voted in October to create a new department to distribute marijuana to seriously ill patients, but only if the federal government guaranteed the operation would be allowed to run without federal interference. The city's effort to form a compassionate use office tests the state's right to enact the medical marijuana law that voters passed in 1996, Proposition 215, which allows some patients to use marijuana. Santa Cruz aims to provide the drug to qualified patients at a reasonable price, proponents say, in a safe environment. The federal government has been steadfast in challenging medical marijuana's use and distribution, shutting down medical co-ops and confiscating marijuana. Marijuana co-op founders Mike and Val Corral were taken to federal holding cells in San Jose after the raid in 2002 and released later that day. They contend some patients, such as those undergoing chemotherapy or treatment for HIV and AIDS, should be able to use marijuana to ease pain, reduce nausea, and stimulate appetite. More information about this story on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash on this Monday. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Hope everybody had a great weekend out there. We've gathered up some more fresh green audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit normal.com. www.sanitarycleanup.org. Let's get to our first segment today. It's time to find out why so many well-known economists and economic think tanks are seeing green out there, not just cash either. Alan St. Pierre brings us this report from Washington, D.C.
Economists see green. A spate of economic reports support marijuana legalization. Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman, 2005. Quote, "There is no logical basis for the prohibition of marijuana. It's absolutely disgraceful to think of picking up a 22-year-old for smoking pot. More disgraceful is the denial of marijuana for medical purposes." Close quote.
Things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money.
An important new vein of discussion has begun bubbling up the body politic with respect to reforming marijuana laws, a topical thrust of intellectual discussion potentially capable of ending America's long, expensive, and misguided epoch of marijuana prohibition. The federal government's efforts to maintain this untenable status quo are largely predicated on fear-mongering and pseudoscience. So it comes as no surprise that professional prohibitionists, both in and out of government, are alarmed by the numerous economists who have recently come out in opposition to America's current approach to marijuana and proposed a system of taxes and regulations instead of prohibition. In the last several years, a number of credible economic reports and budgetary analyses have been published, casting a much-needed critical light on the economic impact of prohibition politics. A few examples of recent reports that call into question the government's expenditures enforcing marijuana laws and offer up alternatives to prohibition are found by searching at normal, NORML.org, for the following research professors and doctors: Jeffrey Miron, M-I-R-O-N. John Gettman, G-E-T-T-M-A-N. James Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N. Dale Gehringer, G-I-E-R-I-N-G-E-R. Also, a great profile of Canadians' pot biz is up on Forbes webpage, Forbes.com. Last June 2005, the Marijuana Policy Project published a letter signed by more than 500 economists, including three Nobel Prize winners in economics, calling for an end to marijuana prohibition. That petition can be viewed at prohibitioncosts.org. And in April 2006, the conservative, pro-business Washington, D.C. think tank American Enterprise Institute, AEI, former employer of Vice President Dick Cheney, hosted a thoughtful discussion and analysis of U.S. drug policy. Transcripts and video of this informative debate, featuring Reasons Magazine's Jacob Sullum, University of Maryland's Peter Reuter, and Pepperdine's James Q. Wilson, are available from the AEI webpage at aei.org. Normal heartily welcomes this new front in the war on marijuana, as careful consideration of the failed economics of marijuana prohibition does not bode well for the longevity of America's longest war, the war on marijuana consumers. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The arguments for marijuana law reform go well beyond the scope of medicine and even social justice. But in a world where America needs to look for every opportunity to compete economically, and when America needs to bolster rather than incarcerate its workforce, the economic arguments for marijuana legalization become even more stark and apparent. Folks, I produce programming for NORML because I believe this is the single most important issue to the United States and our future. as we get into the 4th of July holiday in 230 years of this rather successful experiment in government, we do need to look for ways that our society can begin a new wave of progress. Working together, we can make marijuana law reform a cornerstone of that progress. Links for more information about marijuana and economy are on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Next today, let's hear our reformers calendar. We're looking ahead at the D.C. hemp rally tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be pretty green in our nation's capital. Calendar, we're looking at an event in our nation's capital. John Pilko is the organizer of the 4th of July hemp rally. Welcome to the program today, John.
Pleasure to be here.
Tell us about what's going to happen in our nation's capital on the most patriotic of days, the 4th of July.
Well, it's the 37th annual Smoke-In, which is a rally, march, and concert held in our nation's capital every year on the 4th of July to protest marijuana prohibition. Well, what happens? The concert is the finale of the demonstration, but it begins with a rally, a very political rally, in front of the White House at high noon. Speakers from around the country and sometimes around the world come, and usually they're frontline activists in the war on drugs, and they give their analysis and opinions about the direction of the drug policy reform movement, and specifically about changing the marijuana laws in the United States.
Now, what's the reception to this event been in Washington over the years?
It goes up and down. You know, the smoking's been going on for 37 years. It's gone through a lot of changes over that period of time. It's had some good times and it's had some lean times. Right now, it's kind of a lean time for attendance for the demonstration. After 9/11, because of security concerns, it's just made it harder to get people down there and go through the security checkpoint that they now have to go through to attend the concert. They don't have to go through the security checkpoint to go to the rally in front of the White House, but when they get down to the mall where everybody gathers to watch the fireworks, they do have to go through a security checkpoint. And that's diminished the amount of people that want to come to the demonstration. And also, just after 9/11, it was harder to get people to come down in general. It's a Republican administration in office now. That affects things slightly. It was like this during the Reagan years. It's been going. It's surviving, and it's a very important political tool for us to keep exercising, I think.
Now, John, what will people see at the march and rally on the 4th of July?
Well, like I said, it starts with a rally in front of Lafayette Park, which is pretty political. I mean, you got to stand up there in front of the White House, you know. You're like a little individual person standing in front of the powers that be, you know. Just doing that shows that you have guts and conviction to go do that. I mean, that really puts it on the line. And I really appreciate people who come out to that part of the demonstration. Then we have a parade from the White House that starts at 3 p.m. and goes down past the Drug Czar's office, down 17th Street to Constitution Avenue, where the march has to go through a security checkpoint to make it all the way down to where our stage is at 23rd and Constitution Avenue. So we make a right-hand turn on Constitution Avenue, going through the checkpoint. We go down to 23rd Street, and we have a stage set up there in one of the ball fields. That's where the bands play. That starts at about, it starts earlier than when the march arrives. It starts at 2 p.m. The march gets there, so a little bit, like usually right about 4:20. Takes an hour, maybe a little longer to make the march. It's a little more than a mile. This year we have a great crew of bands. They've been volunteering all year long to get the word out, and there are local areas around Washington, D.C., where they're from. We're fortunate to have them spread out in different areas around the city, so they've been doing really well at getting outreach done for us this year without us having to spend a lot of money or time doing it ourselves. That's the real advantage of having working with us. They're like our outreach tool. They're like a little cell, if you want to call it that, of people. But wherever they are, they're not just one person being motivated. They're like a group of like five people. They're really motivated and working together. And, you know, you take one person's motivation and multiply that times five, and it just makes it even stronger.
John Pilko, thanks for speaking with us today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and have a great time out there on the 4th.
Thank you, Chris.
The keynote speaker at the rally will be the author of the new book, The Burning Rainbow Farm, Dean Kuipers. More information about the event can be found at www.smoke-in.org. And we've got links on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Thanks again to John Pilko for putting together that event every year. Now it's time for some stash music from the Hempelation album. Here's Ian Moore with Champagne and Reefer.
Do you wanna get high? High, high, high. name. You know it's gonna be a crying shame.
Champagne and reefer, a fine holiday treat for anybody out there. Now, next up, let's hear from National Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Karen Mallover, with another way you can help marijuana law reform without having to spend a single dime.
Hello, Normal supporters. Karen Mulliver from Normal here with more tips on how you can support marijuana law reform in your community. So, you've already sent your $25 in to become a member of Normal. And now you're wondering, what else can I do to support the cause? Normal's tip number two for supporting marijuana law reform without breaking the bank is to make your voice heard. When you see a marijuana-related story in your local newspaper, respond with a letter to the editor, or begin the discussion in your community by submitting an opinion piece to your local paper. You can always visit the library section of Normal's webpage for talking points and facts. Be courageous and create a discourse in your community about marijuana. Remember, there's safety in numbers, and by seeing your story in the local paper, your neighbors will feel they are not alone. Thanks for supporting Normal.
Thanks again to Karen for helping all of us starving artists out there participate in reform. Now it's time to wrap up our show today and get into the holiday right with some comedy from Podshow.com.
Well then, you've sunk my battleship. Oh, maybe you haven't. I wouldn't know. I don't speak your blasted moon language.
Oh, I say, Nigel, have you any problems with spiders in your room recently?
Spiders? Well, no, I don't think so.
It's just, Nigel, and I don't say this to panic you one jot, but, well, I've killed a rather large number recently.
A lot, you say?
No, I said a rather large number.
Yes, and I inferred, dearest gent, that by that you meant a lot.
Oh, well, yes, in that case I suppose that you're correct.
So these spiders, dear boy?
Yes. Oh, killed a rather large number of them recently. Or, as you say, a lot.
So we've established.
Maybe it's better if I showed you. I come this way, boyo. Rather a large ship we have, isn't it?
Indeed. The Trafalgar is large, but to compensate, it does have the biggest straight-four warp engine in its class.
Yes. Here's my room.
It was rated by Space Consumer Reports as the best economy space-touring vehicle around.
I'm going to open the door now. I don't be alarmed, as it were, if there is one in there now.
It weighs! way outpaces the inferior hyperdrive funny stuff, etc., etc. class vehicle.
Here we go.
Top marks in all of its spacey categories. Good God!
Close it! Close it!
That's the beast?
Yes, rather an obnoxious breed, I'd say. Oh, he's clawing and scratching at me whilst I'm asleep.
You sleep with those things in your room?
Well, no use in letting my comfy bed go to waste just because of a little spider. No arachnid is going to drive me from my Carillion duck-down mattress. Have you tried one of those? They're the most comfortable thing.
Are you daft, man? That's the Altairian mega spider. They can take a man apart with their bare mandibles in seconds. Well, it's either that or they lay eggs in your ears and let the babies kill you slowly by eating your brain in the process, driving you utterly mad.
Gads! Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, it would be terrible.
Simply.
I'd hate to go out like that, I tell you, old bean. Well, looks like you're sleeping on the space hypercart.
But all my precious things are in there. My mattress, my pants.
To the devil with your pants.
But where will I put my legs, Nigel?
To the devil with your legs.
Well, since you put it like that.
So, tea then?
Oh, quite. Let me just grab my teacup.
What in heaven?
Gads, Nigel, you're cursing like a sailor. I curb the mouth, would you, old boy?
Close it! Close it! Glad that's over.
Well, that solved it. We're to never go in there again.
Agreed. Tea?
Quite. Let me just grab my...
Good saints, Travis!
Oh, that gave me quite a start.
Yeah, you know it's good for calming the nerves.
Hey, what's that, Nigel?
Why, tea, of course.
Quite! Let me just grab my cup.
Hold on a moment, Hawthorne. I seem to remember there's some reason we ought not go in there. Oh, that's right. The giant spider. Well, I guess it's Ixnay on the E-cup day then, old sport, what?
But it's my teacup, Nigel.
No, the spiders have spoken.
Well, I'll just drink for my hands, I suppose.
Well, maybe you should.
Scald my hands with boiling tea.
Speaking of pain, Hawthorne, how's your head?
You're fine.
Nothing wrong with it?
No, sir, I feel just peachy.
No itching, say, in the ear and or brain area?
Nay, Nigel, nay.
I could have sworn that...
That what?
Well, never mind. Let's just get some of that tea, shall we?
Oh, yes, let's. Tea with... milk noodle point chip, etc.
Oh, God! Stay calm, Hawthorne! I'll go get help!
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Karen Mollover and Alan St. Pierre for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great PodSafe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. podcasting technology of normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.